Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm in Round Top visiting with my friend and neighbor, Stephen Petronio. Stephen is a world-renowned and award-winning choreographer, dancer, and artistic director of the New York City-based Stephen Petronio Company. Some of you may have seen his dancers perform at Hudson Hall in the past, but I'm here to talk to him about the Petronio Residency Center, which is nestled in a 175-acre paradise here in Round Top, perched high up on what we call Crow's Nest. We're sitting in the perch, which is kind of like a giant birdhouse, and we're surrounded by a protected forest, but we also have incredible views all the way to the Berkshires. So to start, Stephen, though you are relatively new to our neck of the woods here in the Northern Catskills, can you tell us about your history to the Hudson Valley and in particular to dance here in the region and also how you ended up in Round Top?
Hi, Julia. Yeah, I was invited by the Hudson Valley Dance Festival and Dancers Responding to AIDS, and I and my company have had a long relationship over the years, both in Fire Island and in New York, and they began a festival up here down by the marina in Catskill. So I came like any other import on a tour on a bus with my company, and I was living in Putnam County at the time because I had made the break from Manhattan as a full-time resident. It was kind of a nice adventure, and we got here, and I got down to the marina, and I was blown away. When I drove down Main Street, I was like, this is a town that's about to explode. And we did the performance. I met all these incredible artists. I really was quite naive about it. And then I went away, and I had been looking for a place to do a retreat center, a residency center. And I was mostly looking on the other side of the river because I had these notions about being aligned with the train on that side of the river. And I had a bunch of requirements that were very unrealistic. And I lost a few places along the way on that side of the river. And then I was talking to some friends who were on this side of the river. And I came to see this property in particular. And then I realized, oh my God, it's so close to Catskill. And so I saw this property, and it was without question, after 2 years of looking, this was the place.
And can you talk about what we're looking at right here?
Most of this was already built. I actually had to tone it down, but the guys who built this place were a couple. They were designers, and they had a very wacky sense of combining industrial with vintage, antique, especially Indian framing and crazy details that make this place very special. But so we have a 6,500 square foot, five bedroom home with an amazing great room, and it's perfect a number of bedrooms for a small retreat. There's five bedrooms. We could sleep up to 10. There's an amazing kitchen that is kind of a master kitchen, and it could put out 50 dinners very easily. There is a storage facility that's 2,500 square feet of unobstructed, no columns, all industrial. It's all very industrial feeling, but that was a storage facility for the antiques. They would go around the world collecting antiques, and they would insert them into their industrial buildings. And so they would store them there. You know, I was looking for the Victorian barn to dance in, and I found this industrial storage facility, which has got a heated floor. So it was all radiant floor heating. And then there is a Quonset hut for our garden, a pond, and we're sitting in, this is what did it, the perch, which is, you know, it's on 20-foot telephone poles perched out into the landscape looking over at the Hudson Valley. It's like the craziest treehouse in the world, and when I walked into here, I was like, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here.
Well, I definitely feel like I'm at the top of the trees here.
Yeah,
you looking are. Out. Yeah. It really is like a treehouse. What exactly is a dance retreat, and what is your philosophy behind yours?
Well, there, you know, a dance retreat could be many things. It's a place to go and dance. But for me, in this particular beautiful, pristine, natural environment, I wanted to make a place. We don't perform here. This is not about performance. This is a research and development facility where dancers can come without any pressure to produce anything, to be in nature in the studio as they choose, to do what it takes to make new works of dance art. And that is a lot of mistakes, a lot of boring scratching around, and sometimes thrilling moments of discovery. Stuff doesn't just happen when you snap your fingers. You have got to research, and you've got to get a lot of no's before that yes that you see on stage. So it's not glamorous because you can't see that work. You only see the result. But as a choreographer, I know and understand how important it is to make works of depth from that kind of research. So I am committed to giving the next generation of artists research and development time.
I love the idea that this natural environment can be an inspiration and an incubator for choreographers and dancers. How do you choose who comes here?
Well, first, just let me say quickly that it's not an accident. We ended up here by some divine moment. And the impact and the interrelationship between our cultural production and the natural world is, it's not separate. It's not a stretch. They really belong together. And many of the artists have never been in nature. So for them to feel this, drink in this green and feel this air and feel this quiet, which could be very frightening, is a very big part of our mission here. And we just recently put 77 acres into conservation. It joins the Catskill Reserve. It'll never develop, and I'm really proud of that. So we choose artists by, we have a panel, a national panel, and it rotates every year. It's extremely diverse, and we ask the panel to nominate several artists they think that are having that moment where they really, either they're about to pop or they need that moment to breathe. And so they make their nominations. So they're like kind of producers and movers and shakers in the dance world. And then the selection panel, kind of the judges, are all artists. And that rotates every year. And we're very committed to diversity.
Well, as I've been watching this project evolve, besides dancers and choreographers, I've recognized your collaborations with also contemporary visual artists. Mm-hmm. And do you want to talk about that, your own personal history with artists?
I'm desperately envious of the visual art world. I love two dimensions. I grew up in a very simple family. There was not a lot of art around, but everything that was art was two-dimensional, whether it was on the TV or on the wall. There was no such thing as three-dimensional. There was no performance art or anything. So movies and film and, you know, all the flat surface was very inspirational to me. And then by some quirk of, you know, fate, I went to Hampshire College. I took a dance class to kind of relax from my pre-med studies. And I met Steve Paxton, who invented something called contact improvisation. And he introduced me to Trisha Brown, who is a seminal postmodern genius. She's no longer with us, but she ran in very, very potent visual circles. Robert Rauschenberg was the chair of her board for many years, and she's worked with Donald Judd and comes from that lineage of Cunningham and Cage and Rauschenberg and Jasper Johns. In those days, in the early 60s, those people were just hanging out together, getting drunk together, intermarrying, and making art together. And that's the world that I walked into as a young dancer. So, you know, the second week I was in Trisha's company, I was sitting down for dinner with Robert Rauschenberg. And I had to go look him up in the library because there was no internet back then. I've always assumed that visual art and dance and fashion and new music go together. You know, it's all about what's next. So I've had a lot of amazing people help this happen. Anish Kapoor gave us the foundation grant that allowed us to buy this property. And so it's the Anish Kapoor Studio. Cindy Sherman gave us this amazing contribution to build the Organic Garden, which is a 24-bed, raised bed organic garden that my husband Jean-Marc Flack designed.
And which also feeds your guests.
And it feeds the guests with flowers and food. When we walk through these gates to get to the perch, there are a pair of vintage Indian swinging gates. They're called the Gates of Cecily because they were named by Cecily Brown. So there's many, many other artists who've helped us get here, and we couldn't do it without them.
What are your plans for the summer or fall, either with the residency center or with your own dance company?
We're still in the pandemic land, so we're not going back to the theater yet, but in a few weeks we're going to be premiering several films that I've made up here while in bubble residency, which is a protected residency. We can't leave the premises and food comes into us and stuff. We are presenting a series of films, which I'm really proud of. And then...
And where can we watch those films? Online?
Yeah, they'll be presented through the Joyce Theater. So you can go to the Joyce Theater website. And they'll be up for quite a while. And then we're coming up to do a couple of other events up here. In September, we're doing the inauguration of the preserve. We're going to do Women in the Landscape, Women Artists in the Landscape, and we're going to do the naming of the preserve, the 77-acre preserve, and we're going to perform Trisha Brown's, it's called a group primary accumulation. It could be done on the hillside lying down, so we're going to have great women in nature. We also have a number of retreats from other artists that will be here making work. And I like to give them their privacy.
So for the event this fall, is that something that the general community can come to and buy tickets for?
Sunday, September 12th, it's going to be a picnic, lunch, kind of fundraising event and celebration. Yes, the community is invited. I want every squash grower, every artist, every bread baker, every food maker. I want everyone here to come and celebrate the fact that we can preserve this land, by the way, which is, as we all know, stolen land. So we're gonna preserve it and take care of it and make great art on it.
Oh, well, I'll definitely be there. And on the subject of local recommendations, you mentioned bakers and makers. Is there something or some place or someone that you've discovered since you've been here? Or something that you can recommend, something that you're excited about that you can share with our listeners?
Well, there's millions of things that honestly, I've lived in New York for 35 years and I've discovered and become more intimate with people in the last 3 years than I have in a lifetime.
From living here.
Yeah, from living here. But I would say down the road is C&B Bakery, which I don't know if anyone else has recommended them. But
we have interviewed them on the show.
Okay,
we'll see. I was in the kitchen with them.
C&B is fantastic. The bread is incredible. Their honey buns are evil.
I didn't know dancers ate honey buns.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm a choreographer. So
you're allowed.
I can't even. Look, dancers eat real food. We need food.
You need fuel.
Yeah, we breathe air. We eat food. All that stuff. C&B they're amazing. You know, they have a fire oven outside. Whenever I buy baguettes there, I buy one for the car ride home. And then
one for actually home.
Yeah, one for home.
Finish it in the parking
lot. So,
well, thank you, Stephen, for welcoming me back to one of the most exquisite places in our corner of the Catskills. Through your work and commitment to the region, you have definitely solidified the Upper Hudson Valley as the new epicenter for dance.
Yay!
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.